WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby!
Let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor!
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For those who tune in to the Wild Talk Radio Network on Thursdays, this is going to sound very familiar to you, because I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, and half of my co-hosts are missing. I don't know where Tim Stein is, I don't know where Mace is, so my natural instinct is to assume they're dead in a ditch somewhere. But the show must go on. So, from the rack we have Lindsay Ward.
I'm getting my usual appearance fee for this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, since they're presumably in a ditch, I get their cut, right?
Well, see, until they're proven dead, technically, we can still write checks in their name.
Good point. Very
so,
good point.
We'll all be getting a pretty healthy payday.
So just out of curiosity, who has Tim's credit card number? Because I need a new car.
Well, so does Tim, so I don't think I'd use his card.
He's so proud of that car, by the way.
And I assume that since we are understaffed, our producer, Sir Rockin', will be jumping in from time to time.
I guess I have no other choice but to actually talk on this show, like every other show. Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Yay.
But Tim is very proud of his car. He's been doing some work on his car, painting it, changing mirrors, and all that fun stuff.
Oh, God, he's not turning it into a rice burner, is he?
No. But he's having some fun with the car. I will tell you that. He sends me pictures every other day about the car.
Ooh, there's pictures and you're not sharing? There's a whole new level of mockery here that we haven't even touched.
There's not much really to show Tim with a Road Rider. Pimp his ride. Pimping Tim's ride. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It should be a show. He should do a car show. Like a cooking show.
I miss Pimp My Ride. That was awesome.
That was a fun show with Exhibit, was his name?
Yeah.
It's someone who's not famous anymore.
What is he up to these days, this Exhibit person? Anyone know?
I don't know. If you could tell me how to Google his fucking name, I might find out.
Remember, when we Google stuff on the air, it's never good.
No. It's when Scott Berry Google stuff on the air.
I've replayed that like 5 times now, and it's still funny.
Oh, don't you worry. It's going to become a commercial at some point.
Oh, better.
Oh, it will be, but the person who was supposed to voice over the commercial is not here.
Let's see. Exhibit, he released an album in October 9, 2012, and he made an appearance on the BET Cypher Hip Hop Awards. Let's see. He announced his Collateral Damage tour on October 29th, and then he was announced as the spokesperson slash partner, I guess, for Bonita Platinum, a ultra-premium tequila. The world's only 5 times distilled tequila, and that was the last ever written on him. According to the source for everything, Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, okay then. Yeah, so there's Exhibit. Apparently he had something called Pip My Snack or something.
I don't know.
That's what Wikipedia says. There was something called Pip My Snack.
No. I would not eat anything that has been pimped.
Apparently there's been similar versions to this show called Pip My Whatever, which is something, anything can be pimped in German. Pimp My Room, which is in the Netherlands.
I've heard of Pimp My Room.
Pimp My Car is in Indonesia. And there's been such parodies as Pimp My Sleigh, Pimp My Chair, Pimp My Sister.
Of course.
This is a Robot Chicken episode. So, yeah. Apparently there's been a Pimp My PC, which was a parody in Germany.
I'm just imagining a PC with a feather boa and a feathered hat on.
Spray painted some ungodly color.
Oh god.
It's it's purple tiger striped.
With glitter.
Glitter. We've vajazzled your CD tray.
So that's what they're calling it these days.
Well, isn't that technically the... Never mind.
it was that or access port, one or the other.
Oh, God. Can you tell we're having some fun tonight, guys?
We're still coming off of last night.
Last night was a lot of fun. If you do not join us for Cards Against Humanity, you are missing a lot.
You fail. You fail at life. Last night was amazing! Can we just screw the show and play Cards Against Humanity again?
We could. We can cut the show short and play cards.
There is an open slot during the show where we're supposed to just do whatever.
There is. There is. We could just slide that in there and do that. Huh.
Tune in to find out. It's worth thinking about.
It is worth thinking about. I think we're sitting here.
There's time for one game in a segment.
There is time for a game in a segment.
Of course, we don't have any former colleagues to introduce to the fuck pony.
No, but we have new chatters that don't actually listen to us on Saturdays play the game that could be introduced to it.
You don't want to be, people. You really don't want to be.
No, you really don't.
Well, you know, in all truth, you could make some, and, you know, that's how you get your money for your morpher.
No, I've got other ways of getting that.
So we're doing Pimp My Transformer?
Pimp My Optimus, baby.
Yeah, I've got this Optimus Prime that bounces on his front wheels now.
Wow. So I guess we should get into a little wrestling before we actually diverge into all the craziness that is whatever we do.
Okay.
And now on this serious note, we have unfortunate news to pass along. Matt Bourne, a.k.a. Matt Osborne, a.k.a. Doink the Clown, passed away over the weekend. We all here at the Wild Talk Radio Network send our condolences to his family. I haven't heard what the cause was, but I know police have been looking into it, as that's routine in situations like this. But we'd like to pass on our thoughts to the family in this trying time. No more Doink the Clown, Omega.
Well, this is the original Doink the Clown.
Right.
You know, we should clarify that, because there have been many.
Yes, there have been many, and there's probably a Wikipedia page that tells you everyone who's been a Doink the Clown.
Yeah, because usually when we see Doink these days, it's the Brooklyn Brawler.
Right.
And one time it was Chris Jericho.
Yeah, there was that one time Chris Jericho did put the paint on.
I always preferred that original Doink, though, the heel Doink, where the clown thing wasn't just being goofy and kiddy. It was actually psychological.
Right.
You know, there's almost like a Joker edge to it, where he's doing these things, where he's pulling these pranks and he's doing these goofy things, and it's to throw his opponents off. It's like almost like a prototype of Goldust. In a weird sense.
I could see that.
I can see it. Before Luna.
Yes.
Oh, God,
before Luna. Oh, God, way before Luna. Everyone remembers the playful Doink who had the music that went like this. With all the Dink, Wink, and Pink, and all the other little guys. Because one of my best memories with Doink, I hope it was this guy, I believe it was 1994 Survivor Series. Jerry Lawler versus Doink the Clown with all the midgets involved.
Alright.
That was a fun one. It was like Queasy, Sleazy, and can't remember the other one.
Sneezy,
maybe.
Sneezy.
This is where I'm gonna look it up, cause I don't remember. I just can't remember, and I'm not, you know, I don't have the biggest memory for names. Somebody around here has an encyclopedia that could help us out.
It's under a pile of books.
You have this tool, and you can't even pull it out.
Fine, you want me to pull out the encyclopedia? You mean the WWE encyclopedia by one Brian Shields, available at all fine booksellers now?
No, I got it. Sleazy, Queasy, and Cheesy. Where the royal family with Jerry Lawler against Clowns R Us, Doink the Clown, Dink, Wink, Dink, Pink, and Wink. So yeah, the Doink the Clown is no longer with us, the original one. You have any fond moments, Lindsay?
Unfortunately, no, I don't. I came after Matt Bourne had stopped portraying Doink, and the only memories I really have of Doink are his odd appearances on Raw, which was probably Brawler and Jericho, and then maybe the Gimmick Battle Royals, which was probably Brawler as well.
Right.
So unfortunately, I don't have any Matt Bourne memories, I'm sad to say, but I definitely do send my condolences to his family in this very, very difficult time. I really do actually feel very much for his girlfriend, since she was the one who found him.
Was she? I did not hear that part.
That was what was initially reported. Now it's being reported they actually died in a hospital.
Really?
Yeah. Even still, it's never a happy thing, sadly, in this case. Death is never a happy thing anyway, unless, won't go there, but this is, I definitely do still feel for everybody involved, that everybody whose lives he touched, and it seemed like he had a lot of things coming this summer, so that just makes it even more tragic.
Yes, it does, and you can go back in the archives. I believe Alan spoke to him a couple months ago on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
He did.
So you can go back and hear one of his last interviews that was on Kayfabe. So you check it out after this show, if you so want to. What about you, Omega? Any fond memories of the original Doink the Clown?
WrestleMania 9 match with Crush. It was one of the first times I had seen the duplicate pulled during a match, right, where a second Doink came out to set up the ending.
All right. That was well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's still Doink, though. So it's the mean, evil clown, but at the same time, before they actually go for the actual finish of the match, the two Doinks are doing the mirror routine in the middle of the ring.
All right. So, there is no real easy transition out of a death, but we're going to try, because that's how we do things on this show. And let's talk about a big win for somebody this past week on Monday Night Raw. Omega, Daniel Bryan finally got that big win he needs over Randy Orton.
A week late, but he got it, yeah.
Reaction to his big win.
About time. It's kind of weird. It's this incidental little saga because he got a stinger the first time they tried this match on Raw.
Right.
And it is a very rushed 2 out of 3 series.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, at the same time, it sets up the struggle a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You see this, well, okay, he only lost because he got hurt. Well, now he only won because, you know, Orton got counted out. Now? Yeah, he got a win, and there's no way you can take it away from him. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, you know, it was this nice little way of, even if it was just by accident, just playing it up a little bit more. You know, and getting a little bit more energy behind what was originally just going to be a quick jobbing of Orton.
Right. Did you happen to see SmackDown?
Yeah. Some of it.
Did you see the parts involving Mr. Bryan?
See, now I can't remember.
With him on commentary.
No, I didn't hear the commentary, unfortunately.
There was an interesting little twist with the commentary, because on SmackDown it was Randy Orton versus Kane. And for the Daniel Bryan was pulling for his partner, and then, well, he sort of cost his former partner, or current partner, the victory. And he was kind of happy about it, because the way they were talking about it on commentary was, well, what if Kane beats Randy Orton? Would that equal your big win, now that you both did the exact same thing? And Daniel Bryan was sort of thinking about it, like, well, maybe you're right. Maybe my partner shouldn't win this match.
Sorry, this is what happens when my cable box reboots right in the middle of the show.
That's always awesome.
Thank you, Comcast.
Thank you, Comcast. But yeah, Daniel Bryan, it seems, at least the way they were pushing it on SmackDown, because we're going to get into this a little bit later about the Money in the Bank match, Daniel Bryan, even though he's over as the face, we might see more heel tendencies coming from Mr. Bryan. Are you okay with seeing more heel tendencies from Daniel Bryan?
Wasn't he supposed to be a heel to begin with?
I think.
He was supposed to be a heel. They lumped him in with Kane. It became more of a comedy thing, and people just kind of forgot. Well, he never actually turned face. He just kind of did this other thing.
Right.
It's hard to say, because, I mean, I know they want to set him up against John Cena.
Right.
And, supposedly the plan was originally face versus face, but that's not, you know, what they're going for anymore, apparently. You know, and it's really hard to debate because or argue against, because I liked seeing Bryan as a face this whole time, because he has been very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But Cena needs a new heel to go against, because we've seen everything already.
Pretty much. We've seen just about everything we can see with the heels currently, except for the one that's going after him, because I believe this is the first time they've actually have squared off against each other.
Lindsay, who?
Henry and Cena. This is the first time.
Or it's not often.
Or not often. It hasn't been for years, really.
Yeah.
A real
see,
problem.
Yeah, 2008, April 2013... April 8th, 2013, John Cena versus Mark Henry. Wow, it's been so long.
That was a 5-minute match on Raw. Which ended with Ryback coming in.
Can you argue it? It happened.
It happened. I meant a program. A program. A feud. A feud. An actual long-running feud. Anyway. Are you okay, Lindsay, with seeing more heel tendencies from Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, absolutely. It's when he was with AJ, initially, he was such a fantastic asshole. And I think, I don't know why, but his personality, the way that he comes off on TV, it kind of lends itself to it. I don't think he needs to be all heel, but I think he could be a jerk. And they have kind of a task ahead of them as far as getting him over as that jerk, because people love him.
Right.
Absolutely love him, and especially if he's going to go against Cena, he's going to be over.
Yeah, he will be.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. He will be.
So they've kind of got their task ahead of them there. As much as I love the comedy stuff, I'm happy to see Daniel Bryan go back to more the serious side of himself and bring that intensity back, because I've kind of missed that with him a little bit, where it's the comedy got a little old there for a while. Now he's got this inferiority complex, and he's rallying against that, and we're seeing these great intense matches and him being like, no, I have to win. What do you mean it's not good enough for you? Well, fine, screw you, watch this. And I'm kind of liking that attitude of Bryan, where it's that he's making himself the underdog even though nobody else is.
Right.
And I'm really kind of liking that side of Bryan, where it's he feels he has something to prove, and in reality, he really does, but at least as far as the TV characters are concerned, he doesn't. They accept him as he is, even though in his eyes he's not good enough, and so he's going to prove it. And obviously his confidence must be bolstered based on what he did on SmackDown.
Well, yeah, you can see the evolution. You can see a little bit of a turn for the character. But it's interesting, like, I'm trying to figure out how you play up the usual underdog shtick with John Cena when Daniel Bryan has been making himself the underdog in every situation.
You know, in this case, you could almost have it be where John Cena sort of either, you know, legit congratulates Bryan for his big win over Orton, because I was kind of with you in the sense that, yes, defeating Orton is a big deal, it's a big win for him, but not really, because of how downplayed Randy Orton has become.
Yeah.
He's not the Randy Orton that he was 5 years ago. And so it's like, yay, you beat Orton, but really the top guy in the company right now is Cena or Punk.
Right.
Those are your two really head guys, so it's like, you know, those are the guys Bryan needs to be beating, especially Cena.
Yeah.
That's the one he needs to be focusing on.
He really has fallen so far at this point. Like, even his Apex Predator moniker really doesn't apply when you got someone like Ryback devouring people.
Yeah, it's like, as far as Orton goes, and this isn't really meant to bash Orton, it's just, he's so stale. I mean, he's been doing the Apex Predator thing for the Viper thing.
The Viper.
For years.
He's a snake of some kind.
He's a snake of some kind. He's a He's a reptile of some kind that bites things. Can we just call him a lamprey? Would that be easier?
I don't know. Do we have a taint around for him?
Well, when is his next screw up? Because, well, that would determine which taint he has to latch onto.
Oh.
But as far as Orton goes, it's just he's so blah and he's so stale, and they're so, at least in the upper mid-card to top stars, they're so face-heavy right now. And Orton wants to go heel. Orton is always better as a heel.
Yeah.
He is a horrible face because he's so blah. It's like he's one of those guys that his personality just lends him to be a natural jerk on TV.
Yeah. He sounds like a dick.
You know, even when he's trying to be completely sincere, he comes off as a jerk.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, just a sarcastic, facetious jerk. So it's like, just make the man a heel, please. He wants to do it. And I think the WWE won't let him because he wants it, and they're still kind of punishing him for the last screw up. And also, I think they're really afraid to push Orton in that sense because of that screw up. It's like, well, we can't have you get caught one more time, because if you do, well, you're fired. So
the hard part of it has always been that Orton is the top face over on SmackDown, because, you know, it's, you know, okay, you know, the brand split's done. You know, they quietly killed that, and thank God for it. But that's still viewed as, like, his territory. And it was one of those things where, okay, maybe Sheamus is going to be our top guy. Well, he's only getting so far. People just really aren't getting behind him. Okay, maybe Del Rio is like, at least Orton has the veteran cred that those two guys lack. So they've been really hesitant to lose that because there's nobody to pick up the ball.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's where you finally acknowledge, yeah, there is no brand split. Just do away with it. I mean, anyone who's a face on Raw can be a face on SmackDown. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, and also you've got guys that are up and coming that are over that you could establish as those veterans and sort of use Orton now as that stepping stone if you built him more properly, which is what they tried to do with Daniel Bryan, is they tried to sort of catapult Bryan into the main event scene with Randy Orton. And yeah, it worked, but the win, I think, would have been more significant had he gotten it on a pay-per-view versus on a Monday Night Raw, because on Monday Night Raw, it's just kind of lost. Versus
yeah.
On pay-per-view, it bears that importance of...
Well, that's why it felt so throwaway, because it just happened so fast.
Yeah.
They were setting up Bryan to be one of Cena's next big opponents. So they really wanted to fast track his credibility, so they wanted him to get that win over Orton, you know, as soon as possible. And that just kind of got derailed when he suffered the stinger in the match. So it really wasn't anything built up as a long-term feud. It was literally just thrown together to give him some credibility immediately.
Yeah, because they're basically going to throw Bryan at Cena in August, essentially.
Yeah.
Plan, or the supposed plan. But you know what? You could have still built Bryan up where you almost have Randy be... You have Randy be the jerk in the situation. And I'm going to steal this from TNA, and everybody can roll their eyes, but it's actually kind of an interesting storyline where basically Bryan gets hurt. He gets a stinger. It's not a major injury. He's fine. He can work the next night, whatever. Although I would have held him off back down that night just to sort of sell it further. Next week on Raw, Bryan wants his match. Randy won't give it to him because, well, no, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt, or you're not better, or whatever. And he keeps refusing the match until finally Orton is forced to give him the match either by the McMahons or Vicky Guerrero or Teddy Long or whoever the hell is in charge now.
I wouldn't have used Randy Orton. I would have used a McMahon holding him out.
You could have used a McMahon holding him out, but I would have had Orton involved somehow.
Because I understand the way you're going with it, but the Orton character is not like that. He's not that cowardly. You know what I mean?
But you don't have him necessarily. You could have him be cowardly, you could have him be a jerk, but you could also have him show that genuine concern because Orton did break character on Raw where Brian got hurt and he picked him up and he hugged him and, you know, made sure he was okay, and you maybe have Orton initially pushing for that, where it's no, you're going to get hurt, or you're hurt, or you're not well, or whatever, and you have Brian rally against that and push against that, and Orton sort of makes his case to say, Hunter, to go way back. They're semi-buddy-buddy, depending on the last time they feuded. I have no idea how that one ended. Who came out on top? Probably Hunter. But they go way back. Orton buddy-buddy's up to Hunter. Hey, Brian's not right. Brian's got these problems. He had the stinger. He's got the mental issues. He's got this. He's got that. He's not fit to compete. And, or you have Orton buddy up to Vince, and you have Brian buddy up to Hunter, and you just kind of use that to exacerbate the McMahon-Hunter feud even more. Where you have both sides pushing against each other. Do that too.
What do you think, Omega?
I think I'm just bored of Orton in general. I don't know what you could do with him at this point.
Well, I'll ask this question. Was the win over the Shield bigger than the win over Randy Orton?
Hell yeah. Shield had a lot more going for them when they did it.
Do you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah, I would agree the win over the Shield is bigger, especially since Brian got the pin. But again, that's something that should have happened on a pay-per-view and not on a SmackDown, but that's just my personal preference.
Well, it took Daniel Bryan, 2 months to get a win over the Shield on SmackDown?
Yeah, but the fact is, he still did it. You know, it's something that...
Yeah.
My other point was, well, it only took Christian a week.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
That was my point. It took Daniel Bryan, like, 2 months, and it took Christian a week.
Christian and the Usos.
Oh my god.
The Usos were there.
If it hadn't been for those damn Usos.
By the way, they were.
Christian wouldn't have stood a chance.
By the way, they were putting it over like it was a big win for the Usos. They didn't do anything.
It was! Just for them to be involved, it was big. The guys have had, what, 2 televised wins this year?
Something like that.
They're the number one contenders for the tag titles. Think about that.
Oh god. This is what I was afraid of when they put those belts on them. That they would replace the Shield's winning streak with the belts. You know, now we can treat them like a normal team and let them lose occasionally to build up heat for the other team that they're going up against at the pay-per-view, as long as they still hold on to the belts. It doesn't work that way.
No,
like,
especially...
You're hurting their dominance here. They're still a strong team. But when you say, the Usos and a returning Christian beat them the first chance they got? Fuck!
When they put the first loss on them, that was their downfall. Because once you beat them once, you can beat them anytime you want.
Yeah, and they're not really doing anything as if you have to capitalize off of that loss. Like, you would think that the Shield would see sort of that moment of the Shield where, and maybe we'll get it Monday night, where they maybe go on a losing streak a little bit, and they refocus. And it's like, this is not acceptable. The loss is not acceptable. We have to refocus. We have to re-identify what we're here for.
Right.
And have them sort of go back to really the root or the genesis of why they're there and tighten back up as a team and re-implement that. It's like, what made them so dominant for those 8 months prior to the loss?
Right.
And have them kind of focus in on that, and maybe them realize that, well, the belts are a problem. Because, I mean, remember, they're there for justice. They're there not for gold, but for justice. So it's like, are the belts blocking their mantra or whatever?
That could be. That is quite possible. What do you think, Amanda?
It's one of those things where having a title breeds confidence, and that always leads to overconfidence.
Right.
You know, when the Shield had nothing but themselves, they were strong because they had each other and they had their teamwork. With the belts, you know, it's kind of like a resting on your laurels thing where, you know, we're the champions, you know, we've claimed all these titles in one swoop. We're that damn good. You know, we wanted them, we took them. Well, now you're getting a little full of yourself. So you can play it to where the titles are leading them to make mistakes like that. Jeez. It's just such a hard balance to make when you're... It's disappointing because the Shield was doing so well.
I know.
There was hope. I believed in the Shield because it meant someone doing the writing at this place knew what the fuck they were doing.
Someone did, and then they probably got fired. Or quit.
Holy.
Or quit, yeah.
They either got fired or quit.
Well,
go ahead.
I think also the fact that you have, it's like you look at the way that they come out now, and when they have their matches, they come out together, but they don't come down to the ring together. It's like when Ambrose is going to wrestle, Ambrose is out there by himself. When Rollins and Reigns are out there, Ambrose isn't with them. So they're sort of cutting themselves off from each other, which if you would think they were a team or a group unit, they wouldn't necessarily do that. Like, even if maybe they're not at ringside, you see them hanging around close by.
Right.
Ready to pounce, ready to get the win if they need be.
At the very least, they stay up in the crowd.
Right, and they kind of watch the match, and it's... Because that's the other thing, and Rock has heard me go off on this so many times, but where the hell does the Shield go? Like, where do they go? You would think, well, this is kind of my thing where Hunter's like, you know, oh, the Shield has to be stopped at all costs. In 8 months or however many months they've been there, nobody has followed them to figure out where the hell they go or what they do when they're not in the ring. Like, you would think somebody would have the intelligence to figure this out.
They go to Sonic.
Apparently. So you're telling me on their time... oh, God. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose's car hops. Let the madness ensue there.
Or at the very least, they go and try to catch the hedgehog.
They do. They try to catch the hedgehog. But it's just, you would think, it's like, I guess, for me, they started these characters, and they were interesting, and they were cool, and they were different, and they were mysterious, and then they just, like, couldn't be bothered to develop them any further. It's like, where do they go? What do they do? And instead, they're sort of, it's almost like they're preparing for the split.
Right.
Like, that's what it kind of feels like. They're dividing them up, and then they're eventually just going to sort of phase the Shield part out to where, you know, Ambrose probably goes off on his own, and then you have Rollins and Reigns stay together.
I really don't want them to be taking it that way. What I think is worse is the fact that Dean made a Money in the Bank match and the rest didn't. Like, now, you know, it's one thing when, well, yeah, Dean's holding a mid-card belt, so, okay, that's equivalent to the tag belts, and they won it at the same night, so, okay, that all works out, even if one's a single title, one's a tag title. But now you have officially given you've given one member of the Shield an accolade and not the others. Like, you have officially put one ahead of the rest.
Intentionally and, or not.
Yeah, well, it's one of these things where we know Dean Ambrose is going to do good for that company. We know he's worth that shot. We know he's worth that position, but that's not where he belongs right now.
No.
But do you think in the case of the SmackDown Money in the Bank that the others won't play some kind of part in it? Either they help get Ambrose to get the shot, or they somehow take people out and insert themselves into the match?
The trick, the trick to that is once you put that one prize that only one can win above them, that's when you might start seeing a break. You can't put them in that situation. And I don't think you put them in a situation where even to come out and help Ambrose during the match, which it sounds very Shield until you realize that means it's 2 against 6, and at best 3 against 6. The Shield does not play numbers that aren't in their favor. It's, you know, they've been written too intelligently for that.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. It's just, it's more, it's trying to think of ways to, I guess, put them in or something, or have them there or something, although they're going to be busy with the Usos, so I doubt it.
Because they'll take so much out of them to beat the Usos.
Well, they beat the Usos, beat them in the big win on SmackDown, so, you know.
Yeah. Thanks to Christian.
Yeah, they're a good luck charm. But I think on that note, we should hit our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Yes.
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to talk all about more about the Money in the Bank. CM Punk. Has it really been 11 years for John Cena?
Scary.
Scary as it is. We'll get 30. Into that. And a lot more, because you never know what we'll end up doing. It is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio without Tim Stein, without Mace, but it's Omega, myself, and Lindsay. We'll be right back, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Fox. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
I've been high, I've been low, traveled down every single road. I've been loved, I felt pain, but it's all just a part of the game. And there's people out there get you down cause they're crying the blues. Yeah.
I was just about type to tell someone to go and I realized, oh wait, that's me. Welcome back to WTR Saturday Night Live. Radio Network.
Revenge!
Because, you know, we have no Canadian, we have no Australian, but this is Wrestle Talk Radio. We are live. Thanks to PW Mania and Memley.
We are sans foreigners. This is an all-American edition.
Yes, it's the all-American, American, American edition.
American.
American.
Somebody get Zeb Coulter.
Hey, Zeb, we ditched the foreign people.
In your honor.
Well, it's okay. Well, these foreign people were white, so he's fine with them.
This is very, very true.
It's just in trying to evolve and get the character more to do with Jackie out for surgery / incarceration. Mm-hmm. It's just so weird. They've somehow made him more racist.
I like how you called him Jackie, though. I've never heard Swagger called Jackie.
So he's a Thundercut?
Exactly.
I've got about the same opinion of both.
Well played, Lindsay. Well played.
Thank you.
So, this past Monday night on Raw, we had a very intriguing segment between Mr. CM Punk and Paul Heyman, Omega. What do you think?
Oh, man. I love watching the Kool-Aid being stirred.
Yeah, they were stirring some Kool-Aid, all right.
It's one thing to see the effects. It's another thing to see it made fresh brewed right there in the ring.
Yeah.
That was good.
Was it the right start?
I think it's the right start because... these two guys are both masters of the microphone. Both of them can work both sides of this so well. Mm-hmm. It's how the feud needs to work up, because you do have to add in that element of where you know most people are not going to believe a word that Heyman says.
No.
No, because we went through this with the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
But it does... he's good enough on the mic where... you really hate the guy for just how sleazy he is and how, like, how he words things to manipulate the people he's trying to get into the head of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a wrestling fan, like, oh, you son of a bitch. And, but as, like, the smart wrestling fan, I'm like, keep going. I'm watching art here.
Yeah, I would agree. What about you, Lindsay?
I would have to agree also. This was just absolutely fantastic and well done, and good God, more of that. Please, more of that. Please, just please. And you're just sitting there and you're watching it, and you're literally seeing, like, feeling the sleaze just get all over you from Heyman. Like, you need a shower after watching that segment because he's so sleazy in it. But it's so fantastic because you're sitting there, and even as a smart wrestling fan, you're going, don't trust him. Don't trust him. Don't believe him. Don't buy it. Like, don't. Just don't do it, CM Punk. Just say no. And that was just the absolute amazing thing about it. It's like, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going on, but you still buy into it. It's great. Although what was great about that is, I think it was WWE.com or somebody got a screen cap of Punk's face while they were hugging. And the look on Punk's face kind of tells it all, where maybe Punk didn't believe Heyman as much as we think he did.
That was going to be my question. Do you think Punk actually believed Heyman?
No.
No.
He's lied just like that for Punk. He'll lie against him, too. Because if anyone knows what a sleazeball Heyman is, it's Punk.
Yeah, you're almost expecting somebody to walk up to Punk and say, don't do it, just don't. And I think CM Punk is intuitive enough to know Heyman and to know that, yeah, he's lying. He's completely lying, 100%. And it's just a matter of time before it all comes out.
Right. Now, there was an interesting twist. CM Punk took on Darren Young in a match that went on a lot longer than probably everyone expected it to.
You mean longer than 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm. It went longer than 3 minutes. Wait, we're 3 minutes in the morning. Anyway. Then the primetime players attacked Punk and Curtis Axel made the save. Interesting twist, Omega?
I think so. Because in all of this, I think you kind of forgot that there's 3 Paul Heyman guys right now.
Right.
So it is a nice little twist to add a more physical element to this, since Brock Lesnar is not going to be there all the time. You know, whether it's, you know, you team up in Heyman's name one way or another, or whether this leads to a feud for Curtis Axel and CM Punk in the interim. You know, while we build up to SummerSlam. You know, it's a very smart way of giving him a program where he can look really good and he can still be against, you know, involved with a high-profile character,
mm-hmm.
while still building his own name.
Right.
You know, it keeps him in really good company while he's still being established. And, you know, it was just this... It was like I said, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just like, oh, right. There's another Heyman guy. Oh.
Right.
Okay.
I got it.
I feel silly now.
And when it comes to Monday Night Raw, Lindsay, do you see Curtis and Punk actually being able to get along?
Yes and no. I think Monday Night feels like kind of like a setup, where there's going to be more shenanigans, where Heyman will get involved, and you're just going to continue to question Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Punk is just going to sort of do his own thing and just really ignore Curtis. But I can also see it where Punk is trying to do everything, and eventually Heyman forces Punk to sort of include Curtis, and that causes some tension between the two. Because I can see Punk as basically being like, look, I can do this myself. I don't need you here. Just stay in the corner, where he doesn't see him like he's good enough or whatever.
Do you agree, Omega?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that.
And at the same time, do we see actually the primetime players actually going over Punk and Axel?
Only if Axel screws Punk over. I could totally see that.
You could see Punk actually losing to Titus O'Neil or Darren Young.
If there's shenanigans, yeah.
Okay. So we're all kind of in agreement. Nice setup. Nice first week.
Oh, fantastic setup.
Now, speaking of setups, we now move into Money in the Bank, which is in 2 weeks, I think, on the 14th. Something like that. Which we hear from Philadelphia, which will see the return of Rob Van Dam, and he's a part of the Money in the Bank All-Stars. Yes, folks, it's listed as All-Stars. I don't remember what day it was. Probably a Tuesday, I think. And I was talking to Lindsay, and then we saw WWE.com, and it said Money in the Bank All-Stars. Not WWE title contract match, which is the other one's listed as. It's Money in the Bank All-Stars. Featuring CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Rob Van Dam, Randy Orton, Kane, Christian, and Sheamus. And for the most part, even though we kind of in the first segment talked about Daniel Bryan going a little bit heel, they're all baby faces. Kind of odd, Omega.
Yeah, a little bit.
But on the other hand, what's even odder is the World Heavyweight title match, Money Back match.
The fuck you match.
The fuck you match, or the up-and-comer match, in quotations, as Teddy Long did it on SmackDown, featuring Barrett, Rhodes, Sandow, Ambrose, Fandango, Swagger, and Cesaro. By the way, Vince McMahon doing Fandango is highly entertaining. Trying to say the name. Now, on this side, they're all heels. Kind of leave you scratching your head.
They're all mid-card heels.
Right.
I'm baffled as to how they expect anyone in the audience to give a fuck about this match.
Because there isn't that guy you can really...
There's no one to get behind, you know, there's no one to cheer for. If you only had, like, one or two faces, then, you know, it'd be the supreme underdog thing. People would explode every time they actually got back to the ladder, started climbing or reaching for the briefcase. As it stands now, you put these guys in a match where, okay, yeah, they're all up-and-comers. I don't know who the hell you'd give the briefcase to in this case, but all of them are people that, you know, no one is going to want to see them win that match. You know, you put the audience in a situation where they can't win. They can't even root for someone by default.
That's a good point. The opposite point is they're going in front of a Philly crowd. And as it's noted, the East Coast crowds usually cheer for whoever they want. But again, we're left with who? Who would you cheer for, Lindsay, besides the guy with the belt?
On the SmackDown side?
Yes, besides the guy with the belt.
Oh, but I want to cheer for the guy with the belt. I like the guy with the belt. I want to marry him and have his kittens.
But I'm trying to have you being objective.
I don't want to be objective. Screw that. Fuck you. I do what I want.
That's in about 15 minutes.
Fine. Who's in the match again?
Rhodes, Sandow, Barrett, Fandango, Swagger, and Cesaro.
So at least three of your future ex-husbands.
You know, honestly, I would have to, if I'm not cheering for Dean, even though I want to cheer for Dean, but some people are being jerks and not letting me cheer for Dean.
What was that, Dean?
Yeah.
Dean.
Some guy named Dean or John Moxley, which, by the way, I watched a whole bunch of his old promos. Awesome.
Him drunk is highly entertaining.
Him drunk is amazing. But anyway, I would have to go for Rhodes or Sandow.
You think the average fan can get behind a Sandow or a Rhodes in this situation?
I don't think an average fan can get behind any of them, but I think, you know, honestly, Rhodes or Sandow have a better shot than a lot of them do. I mean, as much as I love Wade Barrett, right now, the way that they're booking him, he has the charisma of a carrot. He really does. I mean, there's nothing to him. He's generic wrestler B. And he's, don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic talent. I love Wade Barrett to death, but they have done sweet fuck all with him since he came back from his elbow injury from last year. Like, they can't make up their mind for him what they want to do, and it just stinks.
No, they made him the Intercontinental Champion with the worst record ever.
Pretty much, yeah.
The only one who actually has any shot of winning this is Jack Swagger. If only he's the only one who's even flirted with the top card, and he won't win.
He's won it before.
He's won it before. What I mean is, I fully expect him to win this one, but I don't expect him to win his cash in. And here's the thing about that: if in an all heel Money in the Bank ladder match, what does that say about the World Championship match?
Kind of gives it away.
At the very least, I don't think a heel's going to hold on to it very long.
Well, to be fair, Ziggler won it as a heel, and he held on to it for forever and a day.
Well, I mean with another heel as champion.
But
you know,
they could. But here's the thing.
Sorry. The people were popping for Ziggler every time he tried to cash in because everyone was really hot for how talented Ziggler is. You know, and they know he deserved that shot. You know, especially because a lot of the champions they were having at the time, the general crowd did not want the belt on them either. So it was kind of a two-way street. You're not going to get that out of any of the guys who could potentially win it this time. So the only way you could actually build something off of it is to have a face champion for them to prey on.
Right.
Yeah, but Ziggler could technically regain the belt from Del Rio at any time.
You don't
necessarily have to have him win it at Money in the Bank. You could have, because let's be honest, just looking at the entrance in the Money in the Bank for SmackDown, that's basically the person that they're looking to elevate to the next level at this stage. Is they're going to give them that contract and they're going to kind of start them on that road of, okay, well, this is the person that we see potentially going into that upper echelon next.
And it's hard to really see how these seven people, who that guy is.
I mean, just looking at the grouping, just based on the way that they feel about people, I really only see potentially Fandango and Ambrose potentially getting it.
Fandango, a future world champion, Omega.
Oh my god. You needed Chris goddamn Jericho to carry him to a mediocre match.
But he is Vince's pet project, and his boy...
Vince has had a lot of pet projects that haven't done shit.
Yeah, but in Fandango's favor, he hasn't gotten busted for drugs.
I mean, Vince was high on the primetime players because of the funny little dance they had. Haven't they gone so far?
Right.
It's a Fandango's a flavor of the month. You know, Vince is high on him right now. Once it's just a gimmick that's not going anywhere, that'll sour quick. There needs to be something more to him, and there just isn't yet.
Good point. Move on a little bit and talk about what sort of came up this weekend when you do the whole This Week in Wrestling. This Week in Pro Wrestling marked 11 years since John Cena debuted on SmackDown defeating who? Anyone Brian? Remember?
He debuted against Angle. I don't think he beat him.
Alright, he debuted against Kurt Angle. I thought he beat him. I can't remember. Either way, John Cena debuted 11 years ago this week. I'll ask this question. In what ways has John Cena helped improve WWE in his last 11 years? Or has he even done that, Omega? Makes your brain hurt a little bit, don't it?
Why do you have to do these things?
Because I find it fun and entertaining.
Shut up.
Because he's evil.
I'm evil, and, you know.
The only thing he's really done for the WWE in the last 11 years, the only way he's really improved it is he's been probably the poster boy for the PG era. You know, at a time when WWE spins it to where, well, you know, we're trying to get the kids watching the product again, we're trying to make it family friendly. Well, I'm sorry, you're still beating people up on a weekly basis. This is still not, you know, quality family entertainment here.
You say he's the poster boy, right?
Yeah.
Think about his first real gimmick.
Isn't
that anti-PG?
Oh, yeah, and if you remember, that's when we liked him.
Yep.
That's when he was doing something unique and different.
And now he's the poster boy for PG.
He's the Boy Scout.
Yep.
You know, we don't call him Superman just because he somehow rises above it all and can never be defeated. He carries himself the same way, because he's squeaky clean, unless his wife's involved. He's...
Shh, shh, you know, hush money, shh.
He is the consummate face. You know, he's never been a real bad guy. He's been a jackass as Thuganomic Cena, but you know, as soon as he started getting a pop, you know, did away with that. Mm-hmm. The only thing he's really been is he has been the perfect person to put in charge, to put at the head of the WWE in that PG era. With, you know, okay, you're trying to reclaim a kid's audience. No, you're not. You're trying to get your wife elected. But for whatever reason, you know, you're presenting a product for a younger audience, and he's the prototypical one to do it with, because, you know, he's got the physique of a classic pro wrestler. He's, mm-hmm. you know, he's very clean cut. He's very... is very honorable and, you know, saluting and whatnot. He's cheesy. It's cheesy as hell is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at your run sheet and you're setting me up to repeat myself, so.
Well, we'll just continue. You don't have to answer the question. We'll just...
There is no continue. It's me just rambling the same point. You know, he's the perfect person for their PG era.
Perfect point for the PG era. Agree, Lindsay?
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that's kind of sort of helped usher it in. And if you think about it, as far as them attracting a younger, more youthful audience, Cena is really the atypical, perfect role model for kids to follow. He's the stand-up guy. He doesn't lose his temper. He... only fights when he has to. You know, his actions are always honorable. He always does the right thing. He always stands up for the weak. You know, he's Superman, like Omega said. And he is the perfect role model for when you have kids watching your product, parents can look at Cena and go, he is an all-American boy. I want my son or daughter to aspire to be like him. Mm-hmm. He's helped the product in that sense because he's brought families into it, he's brought kids into it, and the kids will grow up, and they'll grow up with the product, and that's a new revenue stream for them. Mm-hmm. I think it's hurt him character-wise because he's pigeonholed into that character now, and they're not willing to change it.
Right.
I mean, I know everybody in their brother wants to see Cena go heel. It's a pipe dream. It will never, ever, ever, fucking ever happen until either Cena wills it or until he's almost done. And even then I question it.
Right.
He is this generation's Hulk Hogan.
I'm going to ask this question, and I want you both to really think about it. Is John Cena Vince McMahon's last big star?
That's going to be hard to judge. Because any of the big the next big star is going to be out of the current crop you've got right now. You know, it might be a Dolph Ziggler, it might be a Miz. It all depends on how they play them. You know, if they give them a gimmick that works for them, if they allow them to do what they're good at in the ring, and just how hard they really want to be that top guy in the company. You know, and who knows who that is. But that person inevitably will have started during the Vince McMahon era. I do not think they will finish in that era. So, you know, whether they are a Vince guy or what will ultimately become a Triple H guy, it's really hard to say. It just depends on how much longer Vince has. It's not long, but, you know, it might be long enough.
Lindsay?
I would have to say, as far as a pure Vince McMahon guy, where from pretty much start to more than likely finish, yes, Cena is really one of the last guys. You could argue Punk, but I think Vince made Punk more because he had to,
right,
than because he wanted to. Cena, I think, was really that last guy that Vince saw something in and just did everything he could to make him.
So I'll pose this final question before we get a break. Where does John Cena rank among the greats? This 11-year run rank? Because if you think about it, he's had a longer run on top than a lot of big guys.
There's a lot to be said for longevity. There's a lot to be said about merchandising and just being a marketable top guy, being a good face for the company. You know, it's one of those things that's always going to be judged differently historically by different people. I mean, no matter what you do, John Cena is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he's finally gone. But at the same time, he's never going to be respected by the smart wrestling fans. He'll be respected for the man he is, but not as a wrestler. Because in those 11 years, his style in the ring, if anything, has gotten worse. He's just kind of become a watered-down version of his former self. Go ahead.
Would you argue that maybe his injuries are now starting to catch up with him a little bit?
Well, maybe a little bit, but he's not one of those guys that has really been held back by just a slew of injuries, i.e. Rey Mysterio. You know, he's really only had one or two major injuries in his career. You know, everything else has been the minor bangs and bruises that pretty much come with the territory. It comes with being the top guy for so long. So there's probably a little bit of fatigue in that.
Mm-hmm.
but it's just it's almost it almost feels like a comfort zone more than anything. Okay, this is what my fans want me to do. This is what management wants me to do. There's really no reason for me to branch out. There's no reason for me to go in different ways anymore, or develop a new move, or try to expand my repertoire, or come up with a replacement for the attitude adjustment. He doesn't, you know, there's no drive for that because he's given it all already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be one of those things where he's going to eventually be remembered as one of the great ones, you know, because let's face it, Hulk Hogan, not exactly the biggest moveset either. I had the old Nintendo wrestling game, and with two buttons, you could still do all of Hulk Hogan's moves.
Leg drop, big boot, hand to the ear, brother.
Exactly.
Left, right, and back again.
So he's going to be remembered as one of the greats. He'll probably be in top 10 lists for the rest of history. But if you're talking to like someone who looks more at the wrestling than the character, or the wrestling than the record, he probably would never crack a top 50.
Where does he stand in your mind, Lindsay?
I don't think he's... Okay, Before I start this, I have to kind of split it into, as a human being, as a person, at least from what we see him, he is probably up there.
I like how we both... Well, preface we really like him as this. As this, he's shit.
Well, no, I'm not going to say he's shit, but for everything he does, for the company, for the fans, he is... probably up there as at least top five, if not number one, because nobody seems to sacrifice as much time as Cena.
Right.
Whether it's Make-A-Wish, whether it's, you know, Be a Star, whether it's this, whether it's that, Cena lives on that bus, and he seems to never go home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, as far as sacrificing his time for the fans and giving it all for the company... he is probably number one in my book, because I don't even think Hogan did that much. I don't think any of their other top guys did as much as Cena has done.
Right.
So in that sense, he is probably number one, and if there's somebody who has done more than Cena, then he is right behind them. Wrestling-wise, I don't think he ranks that high.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he hasn't had those really big moments, those really big feuds, those really memorable feuds.
Right.
When you think of John Cena, there isn't really, at least for me, one particular feud that stands out. They all kind of sort of blend together. There was, because I think also he's just sort of stayed stagnant. He hasn't evolved. He hasn't grown. He hit a point and then he stopped. And so he's always the same character. He always has the same reactions. He always does the same thing in every feud he does. So there's no real change in him that makes you remember it.
Right.
And if there is, then it's usually bad, i.e. constipation face.
Is that hashtag constipation face?
Yes, hashtag constipation face. But it's just, to me, as far as the all-time greats, it's like you think of, you know, Andre the Giant, you think of Hulk Hogan, you think of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, those names that just automatically pop to mind. Yes, he's a household name. Yes, he definitely belongs on that list, but I don't think you can really rank him above any of those names just because he has not had the epicness of feuds that they have had. It's like, yes, you can have longevity. Yes, you can win lots of titles. Yes, you can be on top for a long time. But if you don't really have that that those moments, eventually you're going to fade from memory.
You are right. That just does kind of blend together because that does come from being very stagnant in his career. It seems like, you pick someone on the roster and he's had more than one feud with them. Just because he's never really done anything different. It all just kind of blends together. One feud is someone else. You can point to, he had a huge feud with Edge. Mm-hmm. It's probably the biggest feud he had, and it went on a long, long time.
Right.
Too long in our opinion back then. But, there's just very few people he's only been around one time with. Talking about Mark Henry, it's been, it's like back in, 07, 08 when they had their last feud. So it's more a matter of, everything kind of blends and everything just kind of feels the same because he has done the same thing repeatedly quite a bit.
And I think for Cena to kind of get him up on that list, and they're doing this now with him, or they're attempting to do this now with him, is to give him those memorable feuds. John Cena versus The Rock is definitely going to be memorable for a while, at least the first go-round, because it's one generation versus another, and that was a big deal. The fact that, like it or hate it, The Rock did come back. He did face John Cena. That is a point in his favor. I think you need to have him go sort of go in that direction where he's facing these guys that really have him face the part-timers. The
you
guys
are
that
lucky
are the
Maze is not here tonight.
Yes, I know I'm lucky Maze is not here tonight. And Maze, you can yell at me later. But think about it. If you want to get him on that list, if you want to bump him up that list, he's got to fight some of those guys on that list. Because who the hell else do you have on that roster, aside from CM Punk, that can make him, as far as take him to that next level? Mm-hmm. There's nobody. Nobody. Cena is on top of the mountain, and there's nobody that comes even close to him. So guess what? He's got to go to that next level. He's got to face your Rocks. He's got to face your, I know he's not coming out of retirement, but Shawn Michaels and so on and so forth. Because there's nobody left for him to face.
True. Very, very true. I think we will leave it there for the night. Unless you have something to add, Omega?
The worse we talk about Cena, the more it's thundering here, so I think that's an indication of something.
Alright, so we're gonna change gears just a little bit. A tad.
we're going from second gear to third gear off a cliff.
Pretty much. What we're going to do after the break is going to let you all experience something we do on Saturdays. We're going to give you a little taste. Because I wrote in segment 3, open talk. Well, we don't have much to talk about, so
it's going to get real open.
It's going to get real open really quickly. We're going to get some... We're going to do some interesting things. Just
for those of sensitive ear...
Yes, I don't think Matt Goldberg's listening right now, so we should be okay. He won't have to do the earmuffs. The whole thing. But if you're very sensitive,
Too fucking bad.
Too fucking bad. It's pretty much... The question is, we need a fourth. So, who do we want? Do we want them on with us, or just playing from the chat? What do you want? What do you want to do?
I think for at least right now, let's have them play from the chat, and then, because I think we're going to go on afterwards, right?
Yes, we're playing one hand of the game right now on the show, just to give everyone a taste, finish up the show, and then we're going to play again, just to have some real fun. So, anyway,
Yeah, I would say just because we're going to have to go into, like, we're going to do Great Debate and Quick Hits after we do the game, just for simplicity's sake, so we don't have to hang up on anybody.
That's true.
We have them play from the chat, and then after we're done, we bring people on with us, and then...
Sounds like a plan. Kane Kittens, get in the thing, because you know how to get there. Anyway, when we come back, we are playing Cards Against Humanity, a.k.a. Evil Apples to Apples. It's going to be an experience, folks. Like none other. So, you're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. When we come back, it's going to get evil. We'll be right back here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ooh, here's one for the fiction makers. Ooh, we are the bleeding hearts. Don't care whoever you are, revert and fall together.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Street dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Because I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live, midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
And now, haiku time, with René Dasseldry and Some Dumb Aussie Git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly. We would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promoted on our show, now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Hi everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
As the old Kevin Nash or Shawn Michaels quote goes, just when you thought it was safe to turn on that old wrestling show, well, things are going to get weird, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're here to give you a special little treat. It's a little bit different, a little bit more strange than what you're used to on the show. And considering the show, that's saying something, some times around here.
If you are at all sensitive to anything sexual, racial, anything, please stop your player now, because this game is the furthest thing from PC there is. It is profane, it is wrong, and we're all going to hell in a handbasket.
Exactly.
But it's fun.
So we're just going to jump right into it, and we'll explain as we go. Basically, it's a card game. You see the cards on your screen right now. The black card will be on there in a second. And, well, let's have some fun, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, King Kins is the first one with the black card. The seldom-mentioned fourth little pig built his house out of blank.
I've never seen this one.
It's new.
Me neither.
Ooh.
Ooh, new card. So what we're basically doing is now picking different cards, and the card czar will then pick his answer.
Well, that's a good mix to start.
Yes, we're getting going right out of the gates. Hurricane Katrina, Vietnam flashbacks, or Toni Morrison's vagina are the choices for the czar to pick, and the czar, that's sick.
Come on.
Picks Vietnam flashbacks.
Damn right.
Tell me you wouldn't want to see a wolf blow down Toni Morrison's vagina.
He huffed and he puffed and anyway, no one wants to see your blank. Is the card up now? And yes, after the show, we will be bringing more people on to play the game along with us. But this is just to get it out. No one wants to see you're the primal ball-slapping sex your parents are having right now, loose lips, or Hello Kitty. No one wants to see the parents right now. No one. That's just kinds of creepy.
When I am a billionaire, I shall erect a 50-foot statue to commemorate. To commemorate Robert Downey Jr., type C Tetris music, or a Hello Kitty vibrator. Tetris music.
Tetris music over the vibrator, Omega?
Yes, because I think a Tetris block tower would be awesome.
But what about a 50-foot...
No. Not awesome.
Just think if I'm trying to build that. Anyway, in 1,000 years when paper money is a distant memory, how will we pay for goods and services? The mixing of races, homeless people, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's a new card, too.
Well, since there seem to be an abundance of homeless people.
Did they add a new set since last night?
I don't know. Maybe I clicked something different. I don't think I did, though.
Because I've got a different card I haven't seen, too, and it looks like it's from the same set.
Hmm, been out of cards.
Like Mr. Van? Is what it looks like?
It's hard to read online.
Anyway, I'm not like the rest of you. I'm too rich and busy for... We're all making our choices right now. AIDS God finger painting. AIDS God and finger painting, and God wins out. Current score is
too busy for you, God.
Too busy. Kinkins and Lindsay have 2. I have 0. Omega has 1. The Himalayas are filled with many pearls, such as... That's a new one.
And so. It's Sing Vet.
Jumanji, South Korea, standing next to short people to use them as armrests. Well, the Himalayas will always be filled with South Korea. Because I just want to see how that happens. It's sort of that thing. How does that actually go together?
What's my anti-drug? Aside from the peach cobbler ice cream I'm having right now.
What is Omega's anti-drug? That's kind of, interesting.
Nipple blades, ripping into a man's chest and pulling out his still beating heart. Yeah. Being awesome at sex.
Next, Lindsay.
Oh, dear. My mom freaked out when she looked at my browser history and found blank.com/blank.
This can always lead to interesting things, and glad Scott Barry's not here to, you know, type these domains in, because, well...
First card's easy. The second card...
Not so much.
Decisions for Omega.
What will he make?
Let's see. MultipleStabWounds.com/a thermonuclear detonation. NewBioSlaveBoys/the Chinese gymnastic team. Lesbians/the little engine that could. Yeah, I can't get past the second one.
I don't think anyone can.
Come on, lesbian tank engines with faces.
Billy Mays here for... What is Billy Mays actually here for? Bitches, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Over 9,000! What's he here for? That's the question that we're posing. Over 9,000.
Yes!
King Kins has 4, Lindsay has 3, Omega has 2, and I still have none. Damn it.
Hurry up.
Blank! It's a trap! Oh no, this can always be bad. Media coverage. Justin Bieber, tentacle porn. Justin Bieber, it's always a trap.
Damn right.
Always a trap, this Justin Bieber.
Have fun. Don't be blank.
Have fun, don't be what?
Have fun, don't be a bucket of fish heads. Don't be the Boy Scouts of America. Don't be a mime having a stroke. Well, I think that's just good advice.
A mime having a stroke. King Kins is out in lead with 5.
Call the law offices of Goldstein and Goldstein because no one should have to tolerate blank in the workplace.
We have a game crasher.
We have a game crasher. Someone crashed our game. Anyway, welcome Cat to the game. So what happens when you call the law offices of Goldstein and Goldstein?
Well, you because no one should have to tolerate laxatives, extremely tight pants, dead cat girls.
Dead cat, those two of them are new.
I think you've got the anime deck checked.
Possibly.
You know what, dead cat girls.
Anyway, the anime deck is kind of interesting if you think about it. If it is checked.
Well, we've played with it before.
Yeah, but we've had more decks involved, so we didn't get as many. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and... A falcon with a cap on its head, a clandestine butt scratch, a black male in his early 20s last seen wearing a hoodie, a piñata full of the scorpions.
Full of the scorpions?
Full of the scorpions. Like the,
like the band?
Like the band, yeah. A falcon with its cap with a cap on its head. Don't slow down in East Cleveland, or... What will it be? What will it be? Drinking alone, RoboCop, a zombie fisherman, sunshine and rainbows. What will Cat choose? A zombie fisherman. Lindsay and King Kittens have 5. Omega has 4. I have 0 still. And there you go.
Oh, look, it's Omega's card.
But he's not the czar. In the final round of this year's Omegathon, Omeganauts must face off in a game of what? What will they face off in a game of? Mouth herpes, sharpening a foam broadsword on a foam whetstone, dying the Care Bear Stare. Well, if it's a mega game, they're going to face off in mouth herpes.
Oh.
You win if you have none.
And that's when Omega is actually going to play that card.
Because I knew you wouldn't think I played it.
There you go.
Dustin Browder demands more blank in StarCraft.
What does he demand more of?
Meat? Overcompensation, coat hanger abortions, or eugenics. Those last two can really go hand in hand, really.
It could. It really could.
Or overcompensation.
And Lindsay pulls out a lead with 6.
I never truly understood blank until I encountered blank.
These work.
Lindsay will be the judge of that. Seeing as she's the czar.
My game now. Ounces of sweet Mexican black tar heroin, 50,000 volts straight to the nipples, lactation, Laura Croft, being a motherfucking sorcerer, a salty surprise, the Holy Bible, the violation of our most basic human rights. Yeah, can't get past the first one.
Yes, I finally got a point. Yes! On the board.
Kane Giddens would have picked lactation and Lord Croft.
But he wasn't the czar, so you should play to your audience.
Lactation and Lord Croft do nothing for me, dude.
I don't think he would have been... I don't think he would have gotten the same card. That's the trick.
True. And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for what... Carney's Oompa Loompa Skeletor Fatal Alcohol Syndrome.
Fetal.
Fetal. Skeletor takes the win for that one.
Skeletor thwarted somebody? Really?
Apparently.
Actually, yeah, he did once.
The leg makes me uncomfortable.
Oh my god. What, yeah, I gotta play that.
What makes Cat uncomfortable? Men? Another shot of morphine, disco fever, a fat middle-aged man in a Sailor Moon costume. Huh.
Talk about, oh hey, look at his thing.
Exactly. And a fat middle-aged man in a Sailor Moon costume wins. And of course, Omega played that card. What can you always find in between the couch cushions? You know, everyone goes through their couch cushions once in a while, and you always find these weird things in them. But what can you actually find? What will actually turn up is the question. As we wait for Kat to play her card. By the way, for those just tuning in, this is indeed Wrestle Talk Radio, but we're playing a little game called Cards Against Humanity. What can you find in between? Always find in between the couch cushions the town drunk, Boris the Soviet love hammer, the crushed dreams of a stripper, landmines. Well, there's a couple good ones on there, but damn those crushed dreams of a stripper.
Damn,
that's
right.
A good card.
That's a good one. That's a new one.
Yeah, it is.
We'll have to see what actually was selected.
Maybe the editor's pick added a bunch of new ones.
Maybe, that which is cool if they did.
Members of New York social elite are paying thousands of dollars just to experience.
What are they paying to experience?
Talking like a pirate, finding Waldo, Jewish fraternities, or being a dinosaur.
Those are four unique things.
I'm a motherfucking T-Rex.
And Lindsay pulls out with 8 points. We play up to 10 in this game, so Lindsay is getting close to winning. Omega's right behind with 7.
You can usually find me behind Lindsay.
Yep. Let's see if he can tie up with me. Science will never explain the origin of blank.
What will science never explain the origin of? That's a good question. But the answers are...
being fat and stupid, demonic possession, booby-trapping the house to foil burglars, assless chaps. You know, it will never explain assless chaps because they just are...
See, I know
he can explain everything else.
Yes. I know how I'll play my audience in that one. During sex, Kane Kins likes to think about what?
Wong.
A Christian one. Oh, God. He's going to kill us in about 2 seconds, I think.
Wait for it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, during sex, I like to think about... there it is. A middle-aged man on roller skates, Bill Clinton naked on a bearskin rug with a saxophone, grandma, or cowboy bebop. Well, King Kittens, what do you like to think about? Cowboy bebop.
Of course. Rock, do you even know what that is?
No.
It's like the one anime that normal people can watch.
Welcome to my secret lair on what? I've heard of it, I just don't know what it is. The Fanta Girls' inappropriate yodeling, the Trail of Tears, maple syrup. What does Kat have a secret lair on? Apparently, the Fanta Girls.
Don't you wanna?
There are guilty pleasures, and then there's blank. Then there's blank, huh? I wonder what that's gonna be. So the cards are being played. Spring Break, Me Time, the new Radiohead album, 125% of recommended daily allowance of cock. Yeah, there are guilty pleasures, and then there's, well, Me Time.
And we don't want to know what you do in your Me Time.
And Omega has taken the lead past Lindsay.
I spent my whole life working toward blank, only to have it ruined by blank.
What have you spent your whole life working towards, Omega?
My whole life working toward an awkward voicemail, only to have it ruined by the Pope. My whole life working toward glory holes, only to have it ruined by a sausage festival. What?
Huh?
My whole life working toward a vagina, only to have it ruined by menstruation.
No, read that right.
What?
Read it right.
I spent my whole life working toward glory holes, only to have it ruined by a sausage festival.
No, the other one.
What other one?
The third cards. The third set.
No. You got what you got.
It's okay, I have it somewhere
else. My whole life working toward buying the right pants to be cool, only to have it ruined by Bill Nye the Science Guy. Just because the person held on and played them both.
Thank you.
And of course it was Lindsay. Her vagina masturbation one.
This is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts and prepare for blank.
In this one, she can't pick Omegas, because, well, he would win. Since they're both at 9 points.
Let's see. My inner demons, being addicted to children, silence a bleached asshole.
And the winning card is...
silence.
Kanekins picks up the point.
Fasten your seatbelts and shut the fuck up.
The game is now in Kanekins' hands, basically. He could pick between Omega and Lindsay, and the game could be over. It's the end of blank as we know it. Illegal immigrants, the World of Warcraft, Scientology, the Kool-Aid Man. It's the end of what? Is the question. And the answer is...
yes!
Scientology. And with that loud yes in the background, that means... Omega won.
Well done.
Couldn't buy a win last night, but...
tonight, you seem to be on point.
Okay, what the hell did you pick?
Who, me?
Yeah. Look, it doesn't look like you checked anything new.
No, I didn't. okay then. They must have updated the admin picks. Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, so I didn't pick anything new. Okay, so we're good. Unless it was the replacement cards, I don't know. We might have updated them too.
No, that's a different thing.
I got nothing.
It had to be the admin pick.
We did not play with the pony pack just because, well, that was a...
I don't think you can replicate last night so soon.
No, it has to be thrown in there when the time is right. All right, we're taking a break from the cards because we got to finish up the show properly. So. It's going to be quick. It's going to be painless. Trust me. We'll get there. Okay?
All right.
It's now time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the Bobby, the Stone Cold Sexton.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Great Debate, WWE Championship Edition, starts off with Bruno Sammartino taking on Bret the Hitman Hart. Lindsay?
Crap, I'm not familiar with either.
You're on this show and you don't know who Bret Hart is, okay?
No, I know who Bret Hart is. I'm not familiar with either of their runs.
Didn't Tim make you take the written test?
Nope.
He's slacking then, because, you know, it's a written requirement to know everything about Bret Hart before you do a show on this network.
Sorry. Somehow I got a bye. I think it was the boobs.
Might have been the boobs. I also definitely think it was probably the boobs. Anyway.
I gotta go with Bruno. Just cause.
You're going with Bruno, okay. Well, to make this interesting, I'm going with Bret Hart. Just for my generation, because I don't know the Bruno Sammartino generation, because I wasn't alive then. Bret Hart was the man. For a 2-year period, he was the best champion the company had. He was the guy. He was a John Cena sort of type guy. Just had more moves than a John Cena. So, the excellence of execution in my mind moves on. So I now put the ball in Omega's court. Bruno or Bret?
You realize you totally make Tim cry.
I could. He's not here to stop me.
Omega's finding some joy in this. He's
tempted. Oh, yeah.
He's tempted.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I didn't have to think about this. It's Bruno. Back in his day, it's well before any of our times, but he was bigger in his day, you know, comparatively, than Cena or Hogan.
Right.
You know, he held the belt for over 7 years, and he was only that's when he was only the second WWF champion. You know, right. The second guy to hold that belt, and he holds it for over 7 years. And that's back in the day when you didn't, you know, it wasn't a political thing. It wasn't for a storyline. It's because if you held that belt, you were making them money. You were selling out arenas, and that's exactly what he did every single night. Mm-hmm. And it's a record. It's a feat that is never, ever going to be matched or surpassed. Even one of his, he has two title reigns. One lasted over 2,800 days. One lasted over 1,200. Neither one will ever be surpassed. Not today. Not ever.
Mm-mm. So Bruno Sammartino moves on. Somewhere Tim's going, damn it. Damn it, eh?
All worth it for the evil laugh.
Mm-hmm. The Undertaker takes on John Bradshaw Layfield Lindsay.
Get it out of the way.
Honestly, I'm going to stun everybody. I'm going to go with JBL. He was a more memorable champion.
Get out. Imposter.
Sorry. When you think of Taker's reigns, they're not that memorable. They're really not. Like, I can remember moments where he won the belt, but as far as a champion goes, I don't really remember him having that much of an impact. Layfield stands out very clearly in my mind as champion. He carried the brand, the SmackDown brand, as champion. He was top heel as champion. And I think as far as when he went to JBL, that was his breakout character. And when they put the belt on him, he just took off. Taker, I love him to death. I want to have his kittens. But I gotta go with JBL. I'm sorry. I just do.
Omega.
I don't know her anymore. Undertaker. Better character, better champion, more, you know, I believed him as champion more. I don't mind the JBL character now. I don't mind how the character was after his title reign, but he got that million-dollar man gimmick so fast, so out of nowhere, I got complete whiplash from it. And then to hand him a championship that I never thought he was good enough for, I was so not a fan of him. So not a fan of him holding the belt.
So it's now tied, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God damn it. Whatever Tim would do when he has to make a hard decision. JBL.
Wow.
For mostly the points Lindsay was making, I was basically getting that argument ready in my head because thinking, oh, she's going to pick Taker, so I would be the guy just to pick JBL and leave it up to Omega. But when it comes to Taker and his wins for the title, it's... he beat Sid at WrestleMania. Really... they're not as memorable as the one-year reign JBL had on SmackDown. He was the face of the brand, and just because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays, JBL actually kind of reinvented himself with the title, and for that, I'm putting him over The Undertaker. So there you have it. JBL and Bruno Sammartino move on. Next week on the show, Rob Van Dam takes on Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Just to see what I'll do?
Mm-hmm. And Mick Foley takes on Edge.
Ooh!
That's an interesting one. But that's next week's show. Now, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
These are probably actually going to be quick hits because, well, it's only two people playing. So, maybe it might be quick. We'll see. Only one of the questions could take a little bit of time. Or two of them, actually. Anyway, Lindsay, have you ever been looking at someone right before they fall, and when they do, you think, maybe I did that with my mind?
Yes, all the time.
All the time? You're that evil, you like watching people fall?
It's hilarious. I'm sorry, it is. Am I wrong?
No, you're really not. Omega, if you owned a porn site, what would it be called?
Oh, good lord.
Ohgoodlord.com? .net?
Yes. Actually, yeah, that'd be a very appropriate title. Because I know the internet after last night. I know what it takes to get fucking attention.
So that's what you're going with?
You gotta think of the future in this internet culture where, you know, depravity is as quick as a Google image search. You really need to have this really fucked up shit ready.
You really kinda do. So you're going with ogulure.com?
Yep.
Okay. Lindsay.
Hmm.
Cast WTR as fairy tale characters.
Okay.
Oh, let's see.
You got Tim's question.
No, actually, this one was actually planned for her next time she actually shows up, because, well, I'm on withdrawal.
Because he's getting payback on me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on let's 2 days see. Of withdrawal, so let's go.
Rock would be Rumpelstiltskin. I can't decide between Snow White or Belle for me. I'll go with Snow White just because she's a little bit more badass. Let's see. Who would Omega be? I'm going to have to think on this one. Skip for a minute because I got to look up the character list. Because I know what show he's pulling this from, so it's I have to look at the characters.
Yep, yeah, you do. Apparently, the chat room asked the question, is Tim the dwarf grumpy?
Yes.
We're waiting for her to pull up the list, so give her a moment. There's Omega's looking around for something.
Let's
Trying to figure out what I did with my mini SD.
Apparently, it says Starstream Josh says, no, Tim's Rapunzel.
I can see Omega being Dr. Whale.
Okay.
I can see Mace being Jefferson. And let's see.
Now I gotta Google the show to see how I should react to that.
Yeah, you should.
What's the name?
Well, the show Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time.
What would Alan Wojcik be?
Alan Wojcik would be...
Would he be your Prince Charming?
Oh, hell. He would be King George.
Okay. Who else are we missing? Who else do you want to throw one out at?
That's all I can think of right now.
Alright. So, we move on to Omega. Omega, if you were a Trivial Pursuit game, what would your 6 wedge categories be and why?
Oh, God.
Smart, you would have probably seen this coming.
Not really.
Okay.
Come up with 6 wedges of a Trivial Pursuit game. Let's see, the Trivial Pursuit of me would probably break down into... Jeez, there's no broad categories for this. It's very specific shit.
Okay.
You know, it breaks down to, like, Transformers, Japanese TV, let's see, like cartoons, video games. I'm trying to think of 2 more to complete the dork edition of this game.
No wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling.
YouTubing, video editing, you know.
Video production.
Those are the 6 wedge categories for Omega.
So the 6 in the family edition.
The family edition. Oh, if it wasn't the family, next week we'll have, if it isn't the family edition, so you got a week to prepare.
You really don't want to know. I'll tell you this right now. You don't want to know.
Which means next week on the show, we're going to find out.
I will walk off. I don't want you to know.
You don't want us to know. Okay. You want to keep everything a secret? Anyway, don't go anywhere, anybody. We're not done. We're playing more cards. But we're wrapping this show part up. Got it? Cool. So don't click the exit button off the chat.
I'm Dr. Frankenstein? Sweet.
He's very happy now. Anyway, so as I was saying,
I get a hunchback.
Don't go anywhere. We are staying here. But the show's going off the air as it's going right now. Tomorrow night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, with myself and Lindsay Ward talking all about Monday Night Raw. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He'll be speaking with his favorite manager, J.J. Dillon. I told people don't go and someone already left. So you don't follow instructions. Don't leave. Wednesday night, there is no Cheap Heat Radio. Thursday night, though, it's The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay.
Yes, tune in for our Impact Recap and stuff, because I have no idea what we're talking about yet, but tune in and listen.
It will be the Independence Day Spectacular.
Shenanigans will abound.
Exactly. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. As we've said, we play cards before, so tune in around 10. Midnight-ish at CB Radio. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. It's a show that, well, makes you think weird things.
Good segue.
Sunday night, as the microphone came unplugged. It's always good when it comes unplugged when you're talking. It's like, huh?
What? How hard did you plug that came undone?
The wire came undone.
Yeah, the wire came undone because you plugged so hard.
Yes.
How did you do that?
Magic. Did you? Magic.
God, he's plugging shows again. Fuck this shit.
We'll be back Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, with hopefully Tim Stein and hopefully Mace. And of course, Omega will be here. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalk Radio Network. Omega, plug something.
Well, you can see what I'm up to over at tjomega.org or TJ Omega on YouTube, or TJ Omega on Twitter, or TJ Reviews over on Facebook.
As she comes back in perfect time, Lindsay, plug something.
Okay, I plugged in the computer. Now what?
Plug your stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Go to CassidyRiley.net. Visit my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com. Check out my Behance profile, Behance.net/LinsWard. And go to my show, The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
This has been another edition of the WTR Sunday Wrestling Radio, presented by PW Mania and M9Promo.com for Lindsay and Omega. I'm Sorak. We'll see you when we see you, and stay tuned. More cards right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So stay tuned. But for those just listening to the archive, good night.
I walk for my machine. I walk for my machine.
WildTalkRadio.com